I light my candle and let others light theirs from mine. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, sitting at a table where my companions have been sitting for the last 20 minutes eating, and they forgot to light the candle. They forgot to light the candle. You see, when I light my candle and let others light theirs from mine, I am giving them of my experiences, my wisdom, my love, my caring. And if we can't even remember to light the candle that's on the table in front of us, well, maybe we don't deserve to be to that point of awareness of a lighted candle. And maybe it's time that we go back to kindergarten again. This is what happens. That's what happens. Now, I told people about the experience of the 3-hour meditation. And everybody hates it. They hate it with a passion. And the reason they hate it with a passion is that if you make one little mistake, you start over at the beginning. So if you are doing the 3-hour meditation and you fall asleep once, after 6 months of staying awake, you're back at the beginning again. Now you say, but that's not fair, that's not right. That's true. If you're driving a car and you strike someone and kill them and they're dead, that's not right, that's not fair, that's not fair. I've driven all my life and I never hit anybody, I never touched anybody, I never hurt or took a life, and now 1 second and it's gone. That's because we have not created in ourselves the master consciousness. I light my candle and let others light theirs from mine. Is my candle worthy of being a light for other people? If other people look into my life, what are they going to see? Are they going to see a dedicated person who follows the principle? Are they going to see a dedicated person who lives up to what they say they believe they live up to, or not? What are you going to do? When you can learn to control yourself on the little things in life, the big things will take care of themselves. The little habits can destroy us. The little habit of picking your nose. You think, nobody's really noticing me doing it. But you are. You're aware of every time you do it. Maybe there's nobody around. Maybe there's no person on the face of the earth. And you pick your nose, and you believe that picking your nose is incorrect. Bad manners. You have to be master of that habit. You have to be master of that habit. Use a handkerchief if you need to, or whatever. But you don't pick your nose. And you certainly don't pick it in public, and you don't pick it in private, and you don't pick it anywhere. Now, you know what picking your nose means. I don't have to explain that to you. But if you have that as a little habit, you're dead. You're dead. Well, Herb, that's not on the spiritual path. That has nothing to do. That's just my physical body. That's just a physical attitude that I have that is being distressing to me. But, hey, that's not important. Oh, really? When a little child does something bad, is your first thought to say the little child does something bad? We have one of our students, a very fine student, been with us many, 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 many years from the beginning of my time in Europe. And for a moment, one of the students thought that we told people, if you need a doctor, you don't go to a doctor. We encourage you not to go to a doctor. And that's not true. We encourage you to do whatever you feel is right for you to do. If you feel it's right for you to say your treatment and have your instantaneous healing, then go for it. But why wait? If you cannot do your instantaneous healing now and put the cause in motion, I am whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and really do it, then you don't deserve to be healed because you don't believe that it works. You don't believe that it works. Sylvia just took off for her trip to Europe for 3 weeks, and I told her, I said, Sylvia, you have a wonderful opportunity. You will be sitting in the airplane where nobody knows you, and shut your mouth, close your eyes, and look for the light within you. Think upon the light within you. Think upon the illumination within you. Think upon the divine within you. Think about, just stay with that, stay with that, stay with that. And when the stewardess comes around, tea, coffee, or milk, and you say, oh, you heard? You really weren't meditating, were you? Have you ever been sound asleep and have the hostess come by, the stewardess come by, and not leave anything for you? Certainly, we all have. Then, be sound asleep. Be unaware of what's going on around you. People can step over you to go to the bathroom, and you don't even notice it. You are just totally into your inner self. She's flying to Switzerland. She has so many hours to fly there with not one interruption. Go to the bathroom before you sit down. Then you have no interruption for hours and hours. You can sit there, and you're not going to get your legs tired. You're not going to get your legs crampy, or this and that, because you are in an illuminated state of consciousness, if you wish. And in that time, which is 6 or 8 hours, in that time of flight, where you are in the air and untouched by anybody, you can become so attuned to yourself and to your inner level of awareness and your inner illumination. Man, you got it made. Then you are the light of the world that lights all other lights. Are you the light of the world? Would anyone really be benefited by lighting their candle from you? Are you an unlimited being? Are you a divine being? Are you illuminated from within of your own pure, fantastic self? Or are you constantly looking on the outer for the solution? Are you constantly looking for doctors for healing, for psychiatrists for remedies, for pills for solutions? Now, I don't say any of that's bad. Don't ever misquote me on that. I say, take the moment right now and speak your word and be healed by your divine inner awareness, like Jesus said, it's done unto you according to your belief. Be healed, and then you won't need the other. If the doctor still insists you take it, go ahead, take it. It won't make any difference at all, because you have this inner healing. Now, follow your inner awareness. Follow that inner illumination. But get the inner illumination in the first place. Now, do you believe that Sylvia is going to sit down in that airplane, which she's already done and she's already over there? Do you believe that she sat down in that airplane, went to the bathroom first, sat down, and didn't move a muscle for 9 hours, and stayed in that inner awareness of her inner illuminated self? I would like to think she did. I would like to think she did. But you see, if you haven't practiced on it before, it's kind of difficult. You get bored. You get bored listening within, because you really haven't turned on your inner radio set. You get bored listening within because you haven't really learned to listen to the divine within you. Listen to me for a moment. I'm your divine. And I'm saying, wow, are you great. Wow, are you wonderful. You are the most illumined being on the face of the earth. You're super califragilistic. You're so fantastic, man. It's a joy to be in you. It's a joy to be the illumination in you. Wow. Hey, are we going to go light some candles? Now, we're going to go to Switzerland. We're going to Europe. Now, we're going to just shut our mouth and light our candle with our charisma. And people look at us and say, wow, there's something about you that just turns me on. There's something about you that illumines me. It sparkles me. Now, wouldn't you like to hear that? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like to hear that from your divine inner self? Well, start listening. Start expecting it. Do you think your divine inner self says, no, just take it easy. Don't go too fast. Now, don't rush. You know, you got lots of time. And, you know, there's nothing. And what the heck, you know, you may go through a couple of incarnations or a couple of dimensions of living or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, you got lots of time. No problem. No problem. And, hey, go out and go to these sports events. Go out and go to these movies. Go out and go to these things where people hurt each other and where people are angry at each other. Go to the fighting matches. Pow, 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 pow. Oh, isn't that exciting, seeing them push somebody else's nose right through their face. Wow. And people love it. People love it. You go to the Indies 500, we said before, they're not there to see who wins the race. They're seeing who's getting killed, who's getting maimed, who's having their car over and over and over and on fire. Why, that's exciting. Now, you see, this is where we have put our gauge of value and importance. Now, start listening. You can do it right now tonight. When you go to bed tonight, you say, I am peace. I am the light of the world. Another big heave. I am wonderful. You know, I am illumined. I listen to the divine in me and I hear it. Come on, Dwayne, a little louder. I'm listening. I hear it. And be aware. And the divine in you is going to have a great conversation. The divine in you is going to say, well, you sure been going away from me a lot. You go to sleep and you say, I'm so tired, I could die. And you get up in the middle of the night, oh, I ache all over. And you say, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I got to go potty. I got to do this. You see, you let your body own you. And your body is your vehicle. Yeah. Hey, you know, this is a beginning illustration. Douglas Hess over here, he bought himself a new Jaguar. And he's put pinstripes on it. And Ingeborg comes along and looks at his Jaguar and says, Douglas, that is beautiful. And Ingeborg puts her hand on the hood of the Jaguar and Douglas, get your hand off my car! He's possessed by the car. Don't you touch me! Don't you breathe on my car! I don't want your breath on there, you know. And did you shake your clothes off before you came in here? I don't want your dust on that car. You know, he's possessed by the car. You say, you wouldn't be possessed by your car? Every time you get a new car, you know, I just got it and I got a scratch on it. Well, what if you had it 100 years and finally had a scratch on it, you know? And you wouldn't say a thing, would you? He said, I went for 100 years without a scratch. Well, you should go forever, you know? And you don't need scratches. You don't need dust. You don't need anybody putting their fingerprints on your car, you know? You know, a lot of people have their security on their car turned up. So that if anybody comes along and touches their car, the car sings. And that's silly, you know? Why expect people? Surround your car with your pure white light of love and know that all its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasant. And there'll be no fingerprints on your car. There'll be no dust on your car. Like the life teachings of the masters of the Far East, you know? How can one speck of God presence cling to another speck of God presence where it may not be wanted? You know? It is impossible. We are the masters. Are we ready to have the world light its their candle by us? Are we the light of the world? Are we the illumination that lifts, as Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all the world will be lifted up unto me. Unto me. Unto that light that he portrays. Unto the light that we portray. We are exactly as good a light as Jesus ever was, or that God ever was or ever will be, because we're God. We're the divine. Now it's up to us to start acting like that, and living like that, and being like that. Does the divine ever swear? No. Does the divine ever do something naughty? No. Does the divine ever think a naughty thought? No. Does the divine ever compare itself to anything else? Does the divine ever say that it's fat or thin or short or tall? Does the divine ever say that it doesn't know it all? No. The divine always just is, and it has no comparison. And the divine doesn't need to show off for anybody. And doesn't need to show anybody that it is fantastic and wonderful and glorious. It just is. Now think about it. You say, boy, I wish I could go on that trip with Sylvia and sit for 9 hours and just meditate. I tell you, if you're sincere, you can come to Ellen and say, Ellen, I would like to go on a spiritual retreat for 9 hours. I'm just going to be in my own inner self. I'm going to go to the mountain off here, go up to the cave here, or do whatever you want to do, and I'm just going to sit there, and I'm not going to have to piss. I'm not going to have to do anything in between. You don't have to, because you prepare yourself ahead of time. Now, if you have to, you do it. But the thing is, if you are in meditation, you will not have the desires of your physical body, the flesh, the human body, which is your vehicle. If you're going to let your Jaguar own you, you'll have lots of trouble with it, you know? because you'll hear every little squeak, every little thing that goes wrong with it. And there's really nothing wrong with it. It's just breaking itself in, you know. That's a terrible word, too, isn't it? The car break, you got to break in the car. You're gentling the car. You're warming the car up. You're blessing the car. You're loving the car. Now, we can do that to our body. We can bless our body. We can love it. We don't want to break in our body. That doesn't sound too cool, you know. We want to gentle our bodies. Our bodies want to be trained like a colt to be of service to us. That's the only purpose that has to exist. When you're done with your body, you dump it. You have no feelings about it. You don't care. Ray's friend Dave died, and so Ray spoke to the Navy, and the Navy is taking his ashes, along with a couple of thousand other people, and dumping it out in the ocean. The chaplain will have a service and say, "Bless these dear ones as they go floating away." And then they just dump the ashes out in the ocean. Now, that's a lovely way to do it. What the heck? As Ray says, it saves a lot of real estate, you know. But that's true. That's true. But that's not the point. The point is, when we are done with our bodies, we don't worship them anymore. In Europe, they love to worship them. They build special houses for them and tombs for them. And, of course, the Egyptians are like that, too. They all worship the dead body. Well, there's nothing there. The guy who lived there, the being that was using that vehicle, gave it up because he says, "I got neater things to do now. I'm going on into other wonderful expressions of myself." So, I light my candle and let others light theirs from mine. And am I so blatantly blasé to realize that my candle is better than somebody else's? No. My candle is just lit. You know, it's just lit. So you all come, light yours. You know, at Christmas time and other times of the year, Easter time, in Christian churches, they have a candle, which is a Christ candle. And it sets at the center of the altar. And then everybody in the congregation is given a little tiny candle, which I think is absolutely stupid. They should all get a big candle, just like the Christ candle. And so they got this little candle. And it's got a little piece of paper to keep the wax from running down your hand. And you go up there and you light it. And then you go back to your seat. And here's all this fire. Kids and adults are like sitting there in their pew holding it, you know. And the kids are being funny with it sometimes, you know. But it's a symbol. It's a symbol. You go and light from the Christ candle. Well, now, are you the Christ candle? Yes, you are. Each of us are the Christ candle. Each of us have people coming and lighting their light by us. Ellen's been on the phone to a number of people today, and without exception, every person said at the end, "You have made my day. You have lit my way. You have brightened my life. You have given me something to live for, something to think about, something to know." And Ellen, well, actually, they didn't say that. They said, "You tell Herb he's wonderful. You tell Herb he's the greatest guy on earth. You tell," and you too, Ellen. Ellen admitted that. But why? Because this is what I believe. This is what I teach. This is what I am. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Every being in the face of the earth is the light of the world, if they will accept the privilege. But many people don't want that privilege. What's one thing that happens to you when the light comes to you? All the shadows go away. All the illusions go away. All that which is unreal just disappears. And you're pure and whole and perfect and fantastic and glorious. Wow! You know? Mm-hmm. Wow!
Wow!
What a blessing just to be me. Just to be you. Mm-hmm. Now, you want your divine to talk to you like that?
Yes.
Then you talk to your divine like that. Mm-hmm. Say, "Hey, divine! I got to turn up the volume a little bit here. We haven't got our volume up very well, you know?" And the divine says, I'm speaking well at all times. Put your hearing aid on. And you say, oops, excuse me. And our hearing aid is our one-pointedness. We scatter our attention to many things. And when we scatter our attention to many things, we don't hear what we really want to hear. Ingeborg? You're wonderful. You're fantastic. You're glorious. You're beautiful. You're supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Did you hear me?
Yes.
What did I say?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Gorgeous. Wonderful. I'm great.
Not bad. 3 out of 8. That's not bad. But, you see, listen closer to your divine within. It'll speak loud, but if you're going to drift off to sleep when your divine is talking to you, then forget it. I mean, you're not in the party. You're not in the party. So when you fall asleep, you're not in the party. I fall asleep occasionally, and I'm in my own party. But it's wonderful. But remember, you're the master. You're in charge of all your habits. You're in charge of all your conditions in the world. And the more you take charge and listen to that inner radio station, that inner divine, the more it's yours. Neat, huh?
Yes.
Have a wonderful whatever.
A wonderful introspection, a wonderful listening.
Great.
Right.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love
I love you.
Love
I love you. You.